Amen.
Also, there's breakfast afterwards.
Yep. Okay, let's go ahead and turn again to Deuteronomy. We've been sneaking up on this study in Deuteronomy for a couple months now, it seems. But I think even last week we went back to Numbers for a time. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we've talked about what the past, what brought them and how they got to Israel got to this place in this time, what's taken place. And we looked into the future in the book of Joshua and after Moses had died and as they actually crossed Jordan and entered into the land of promise. But here in Deuteronomy, it's a book, Deuteronomy means a book of remembrance. So Moses is recalling all that they've been through. He's reminding them because as we've read several times in the first part of the first chapter, here they are once again at Kadesh Barnea. Here they are again at the borders of the land of Canaan. They're on the threshold of entering into the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as in chapter 1, verse 8. And he's reviewing what they've been through so that this time they will enter in with the boldness and the assurance and the understanding of the historic, literally the historic blessing that was about to take place. What's happening right here in Deuteronomy, you mentioned, well, we're studying Deuteronomy. Well, what's that about? Those old weird books in the Old Testament. What's happening that we're studying here, what's happening at this moment is still the center of the world's attention today. It's the people of Israel that have come out of Egypt, and they're preparing to enter in to the land that we know today as of Israel. But back, what they actually inherited is much larger than what they occupy today. They occupy such a very small portion of the land God gave them. And they've lost it. They've lost it through unbelief. They've lost it through rebellion. They've been removed from the land and restored to the land. And it's just a painful history of how God sets before us great blessings. But unless we walk by faith, unless we continue with him by faith, the promises still stand. Their name still stands, but they miss out on the tangible and spiritual blessings of being the people of God. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I think we got through, I always forget the mark where I leave off. So we got down to I think verse 39 or 40, somewhere in there. Because what they've done is they sent in the one man from each tribe to spy out the land by which way they should go. How should we approach the land? What city should we go to first? Where should we start our possession of our inheritance? So this is the group that came out of Egypt. But when they came back, there's the report that they came back. Starting at verse 22, we studied that last week, was that this is a great land, but we can't do this. These people are too big. They're too mean. There's lots of good in the land, and they're going to die protecting it, and they will devour anybody that comes in there. They are so entrenched in the land and so powerful. No, we can't do this. We can't. We'd be better off going back to Egypt and being slaves in the world than we would be going forward and laying hold of the promises of God by faith and letting God and the power of God work with us and for us. And so Moses is reminding them, okay, this is what happened 40 years ago. And so we're down here to verse, let's start at verse 39. It said, "Moreover, your little ones which you said, you see, the, verse 37 said, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. So Moses knew he wouldn't be going in. But Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, verses 36 and 38, they believed God. They said, we can take this land because God is with us. And that makes all the difference in everything in our lives. If we know that God is with us, there is nothing that we cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot do in us and through us. Because it comes down to, is he God? Is he the Almighty God? Is he able for me or not? That's a question we face each and every day. Because God has set before us in the church, in this dispensation, God has set before us exceeding great and precious promises. But who will enter in? Every one of us have promises set before us. The Holy Spirit leads us to places in our lives and times where he would have us to trust him and walk with him. And know that we are the children of God. Know that we've been born of God. Know that he has called us to, as we talked about Sunday, to that those two chapters, that one page in the Bible, he's called us to that high and holy place to rule and reign with him. But the question every day is, you know, will you have it today? Will we walk with Christ today? But that was set before Israel. And they were saying, well, we can't go in because we have to worry about our children. We're afraid our children are going to be harmed. We have to think of the children. Well, verse 39, Moses said, moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in into the land, go in thither. Unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So what Israel, the people of Israel, at the first attempt to enter in, because again, the book of Deuteronomy is written at the end of the 40 years of the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness. All those others that did not go in had died off. And now those children had grown up. The ones that they were afraid that would be devoured and destroyed by the enemy, they are the ones going to enter into the promises. So excuses don't work with God, do they? There is no logical excuse not to believe God. There is no logic in, because I was talking to somebody about that this week a little bit, how the word, and we've talked about it lots of times in John, Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, how the word means, that's where we get our word logic from. And when does it ever make sense to defy logic or truth and expect to come out ahead? Doesn't work. It's like trying to pretend that gravity doesn't work. You know, it'll make a fool out of us every time. So they said, no, we can't go in because we're worried about our children. But it was the children that went into the land, not them. Because they walked, and that's what Moses is talking to, is the children here, because they were ready and ready to go in by faith. So in verse 40 it says, but as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then they answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord, and we will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye have girded on every man his weapons of war, ye are ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say to them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hear or hearken unto your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. So after they said, no, we can't go up, we can't. will be destroyed. They rebelled against the Lord. And so Moses, in a sense, scolded them, and they ashamed, and they recognized their sin. We read about that in Numbers, I think it was, when that time actually happened. They said, okay, we're sorry, we'll go up and fight now. No, the opportunity had passed. The opportunity had passed. What they could have done by faith in God and overcome and conquered, they could not accomplish by their own strength or works. See, their eyes were fixed upon their own strength, their own ability. No, they never were able to go into that land and chase out the people that lived there and fight against them and win unless God was with them. And if God be with you, who, as Paul said in Romans, who can be against you? There's none that can stand before God. If God wants something to happen, it's going to happen. But since they rejected that, said, well, okay, we're sorry, now we'll go up. And the Lord said, no, don't go up. I'm not with you. You're going to get up there and you're going to get whooped. And they went up and they got whooped. And they came back and they wept before the Lord, as it, verse 45 says. But I like that term in verse 43. But they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill, up to the place of battle. Presumption, when it comes to our lives in God, our lives before God, we presume this and we presume that. You know, as they say, close encounters with horseshoes and hand grenades. When it comes to the things of God, we need to know. We need to know that if God is in this, if God has given me the Spirit's leading, it's going to be fine. But if I'm not confident, if I'm just presuming that God's going to do what I want him to do, that's what the devil attempted Jesus. He took him on top of the temple and said, well, the scripture says that the angels of the Lord will hold you up and you shall not dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus basically said, my Father did not tell me to come up here and jump off just to prove you wrong. He says, you shall not take the word of God in vain and be presumptuous. Do not test the Lord. So the opportunity of blessing and entering into the land for the Israel that came out of, the people that actually came out of Egypt, that time, Moses is reminding them here in chapter 1, that time came and it went and they turned. In chapter 2 and verse 1 starts out, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. They walked around and around in circles. There's a huge lesson in this for the church today. When we aren't where God would have us to be, and we aren't yielded to the Spirit's leading, we spend our life walking in circles and getting nowhere. 40 years, basically, they walked in circles. As I was reading this, why did they keep moving? Well, the Lord supplied manna every day. They had food. Brought out their thousands and thousands of sheep and goats and cattle. They had to eat. And I don't remember reading anything about the Lord causing the grass to grow tall again overnight. So they basically spent 40 years, instead of walking with God and following God, they spent 40 years following animals. They were led by the goats. No, the Lord led them. He guided them with the pillar of fire by day, or by night, and the cloud of smoke by day. The Lord led them. But basically they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, taking care of livestock, and waiting for the unfaithful to die off and faith again to grow. Kind of like Samson's hair. Remember Samson's hair? How he was deceived and Delilah shaved it off and he was without strength. But after he'd been blinded and put in prison and using his muscles to grind grain, his hair grew back. His faith grew back. His trust and relationship with God was healed. And his last great act of faith, he destroyed more Philistines in that one act than he had in all the other events in his life. So anyway, in chapter 2, they turned and they took their journey, the beginning of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. In verse 2, Moses says, "And the Lord spake unto me, saying, You have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession." Again, Esau was Jacob's brother, or Israel's brother. Esau lost his birthright, didn't he? Sold it for a bowl of soup. He didn't think much of being the firstborn. He didn't give it much consideration. He was hungry. My belly's empty. I need food more than I need the all these supposed firstborn rights that the rights that a firstborn son gets in this calling of God. It was Esau that lost his birthright and it became Jacob's, which became Israel. But God protected him. God still blessed him. He said, don't mess with them. Their land is not your land. That's your brother's land. That's your family's land. They already live there. Don't mess with them. Verse 6 says, "Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water for them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the great plain of Elath, from Ezion-Geber. We turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession." Now remember Lot. That was Abraham's nephew. So they were walking through land that belonged to their relatives. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to overthrow them. They've had their lives. They've made their mistakes. But I've given them promises. I've given them an inheritance. I've given them blessings. They are where they are. They get to keep what they've got. Your land is over there in Canaan. And you pass that up. But you'll come back. We'll bring you back. Verse 10 says, "The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a great people, and many and tall as the Anakims. We also were accounted giants, which were also accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, get you over the brook Zered, and they went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. Right there in those few verses, 38 years of life had gone by. That's a long time doing nothing. A long time remembering how they'd missed out on the promises of God. a long time of regrets and sorrow, a lot of labor, a lot of hard work. Unbelief. We pay a great price for unbelief. We reap to ourselves a lot of sorrow for rebellion. The world scoffs at that today, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what God says. There's no God. It doesn't matter what he says. It's just an old book full of stories and myths and fables. It has nothing to do with life today. This has everything to do with our lives today. Everything to do with human life on earth. It always has. With God's blessings, there is nothing we cannot do. Without his blessings, there is nothing that will ever accomplish worth accomplishing. And that is overwhelming for people to hear that news. It is not news that we hear very often, is it? It'd be nice if you turn on the nightly news and they'd sign off saying, remember, put your trust in God and prosper. Put your trust in God and be rich. Walk with God. Have a good evening. They don't say that. That's not their story. The world sees very little value in obeying and walking with God or following the Lord in this day and age. But it doesn't change the facts of the Word of God and the power of God and the blessings of God in our lives. 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the host, that is, those that did not enter in because of unbelief, until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar to the coast of Moab this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwell therein. There's giants in the world. And there are records of people that were very tall. I can't remember exactly where it is, but there's a certain people. I think it might be the Anakims. It's said that they had 6 fingers and 6 toes in each hand. I hadn't planned on going there, so I can't pull that out of my library right now. But there are still people in the world today that have that gene. I worked with a man. He has 6 toes on each foot. Not 6 fingers, but 6 toes on each foot. And so that, there were a people like that. And there are remnants of that gene still in our human gene pool today. Verse 21, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and he succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And he goes on to name these different tribes. A lot of this don't need to read. But verse 24, he says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, which we've already talked about, of king of Heshbon, in his land, and began to possess it and contend with him in battle. So they were learning to take victories now. They were learning to stand up against kings and take lands. They were getting some practice at this overcoming. And see, the Lord does that in our lives too. He gives us little practice sessions of how to overcome. Oftentimes we want great things. We want great blessings in our life. We want the Lord to do this and that for us and in our lives, and we desire to have and to do certain things. But we have to go through this training of walking faith by faith, step by step. And sometimes the little victories are seen as inconsequential, and we overlook them. We overlook opportunities to take victories. But every day of our lives in this world, the Lord gives us an opportunity to walk by faith, to take victories, that's learning how to rule and reign with Christ, as I talked about Sunday. It's learning how to see the world and see our lives as the Lord sees them. That we are called to be a dominant force on earth. Eventually, we will be seen for who we are. But we are to walk in this world with a testimony that people say, you know, that person, I know that they know God. I know that they believe in Jesus. How else can they have joy in that circumstance? How can they have peace in the situation they're in? How can they have hope in the all that they're going through, the bad things they're going through? How can that be? Because other people can't see the hope. But when we can see it by faith, we can rejoice. We can rejoice on our experiences because God is with us. And we're walking in the promises of God. We're in touch with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's leading us and guiding us. But we can't overlook the little victories that God would have us to take every day. So in verse 24, he talks about how they began to take over the lands. And as we've already talked about a little bit before, verse 25 says, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who hear report of thee, and shall tremble or shall be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out from the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn to the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. Or only will I pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites did unto me, which I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. The Lord said, We don't want to cause you any problems. We just want to walk through your land. We'll do business with you and keep on moving. But the king of Heshbon, or Sihon, excuse me, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land unto thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us and all his people to fight at Jahaz. You know, the world doesn't give up without a fight. God calls us to overcome, to overtake things in this world. We have to dominate in circumstances by the Spirit's leading, by God's power. That's part of ruling and reigning according to the Word of God. And we start out and we find out that the world wants to declare war against us. And every day that we get up and show up, you know, they say that, you know, a lot of success in this world is just show up. If you want to be in the workplace, just show up, because so many don't. Just show up and God will bless you. And that's what God asks of us. Just show up and be ready to believe God today and tomorrow. And God will take care of things. He will put our lives in order and bring us peace and victory. Let me hurry here a little bit and we'll get to the end of the chapter. But anyway, the people of Sihon came out to fight against us. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. Our Lord, the Lord our God, delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor any place of the river of Jabbok, not unto the cities of the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. The Lord delivered those people up. You say, how cruel this is. You know, if we look at it through the natural eye, if we look at it with our own understanding, these could be hard words to accept, hard things to embrace. But see, our God is a God who exercises justice and judgment. He gave King Sion opportunity to let them pass peacefully. But Sion himself set himself against the Lord. And the Lord is just in bringing judgment upon those that rebel against him, even as he will the whole world, as we've been looking at and we'll be looking at in the book of Revelation. This world is being prepared unto judgment, the judgment of the Lord, the judgment of the return of God in glory and power, not as a meek servant, not as an unknown Nazarene or Nazareth, man from Nazareth, but he'll come in the clouds with power and glory and rightly judge the world. Because behind it all is sin and rebellion against God, and all sin will be destroyed. All sin will be destroyed. I thank God that our hope is in the blood of Christ. I thank God that our hope is in that victory that God has already accomplished in our lives by allowing us to be counted dead with him through faith in the blood of Christ and raised from the dead with him. That's what baptism is about, into a new life, a new purpose, a new vision, a new understanding, all manner of new and blessed things. Well, I'm going to stop with that for tonight before we go any farther here in chapter 3. Because the Lord recounts this, there's a lot of hard things that went on during this time, a lot of difficult things. But again, the world today exists as it does because of what was taking place here, that Lord Moses is reminding them of how God has been with them all this time and all these years to bless them. God will bless his people. That's what he's promised. All right, well, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that when you are for us, when you are with us, which you always are, but when we realize that your blessing is upon our lives, Father, you bless us indeed. Father, we pray that your word and this encouragement in your truth and your logic would strengthen us in our lives from this day forward, that we would not fear to walk with you in the face of all sorts of opposition, but that we would walk with you with rejoicing and peace in our hearts, even though it leads to battles and confrontations, that we would stand with you knowing that the victory is sure because of your promises. Father, bless this to each of us according to the Spirit's ability and leading. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.